It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station. We're broadcasting from Kodiak, Alaska, up here on Signal Hill, where it is currently, according to our thermometer, 63 degrees by the tiny back porch. The airport is registering 57 under overcast skies, southwest winds to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, look for a 30% chance of rain, mainly before 10 p.m., mostly cloudy skies overnight, the low around 50. Just a 30% chance of rain tomorrow, mainly after 4 p.m., mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with a high of 59 and calm winds. Coming up on the Midday Report, 20 new cases of COVID-19 reported today for the Kodiak Island Borough. We hear from Kodiak College's director about our local community college and COVID. Pfizer has full approval of the FDA, what that might mean. And the manhunt is over in Anchor Point. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. We're expecting to hear later this hour from President Biden as he faces pressure from U.S. allies and members of Congress to stay in Afghanistan long enough to ensure all Americans and Afghan allies are safely evacuated. The White House says that at a virtually held G7 meeting today, Biden told G7 leaders the U.S. is on pace to finish its withdrawal in 7 days. He also said meeting that deadline depends on continued coordination with the Taliban. However, the Taliban's announcement today might further complicate matters. A spokesman says the Taliban are blocking Afghans from accessing the Kabul airport, citing security concerns. He says foreigners are being allowed through. Back home, dozens of veterans organizations say they'll hold President Biden to his commitment to evacuate Afghans who helped the U.S. military during the 20-year-long war. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports.
A coalition of American veterans organizations called Evacuate Our Allies has asked for a virtual meeting with Biden before the American withdrawal from Afghanistan is complete, a deadline that's currently just a week away. Army vet Chris Goldsmith says it's about preserving American credibility.
And we want President Biden to understand that the mission is not complete in an arbitrary date. The mission is complete when we fulfill our promise to getting our allies home.
Goldsmith says veterans of the war are wrestling with the guilt that promises made on the battlefield could be broken. The number of Afghan allies and family members still left behind is estimated in the tens of thousands. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
A possible Havana Syndrome incident may be the reason Vice President Kamala Harris's trip from Singapore to Vietnam was delayed for several hours. The U.S. Embassy in Hanoi issued a statement saying that the vice president's office was made aware of a report of a recent possible anomalous health incident in Hanoi, Vietnam. A series of unexplained health incidents came to be known as Havana Syndrome after they were first reported by U.S. diplomats and other government staffers in Cuba in 2016 and 2017. The Biden administration says the number of people getting vaccinated against COVID-19 is on the rise in the United States. NPR's Windsor Johnston has the latest.
White House COVID-19 response coordinator Jeffrey Zients says vaccination rates are up in Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi.
More people got their first shots in the past month than in the prior 2 months combined. This is critical progress.
At the same time, the CDC says the average rate of deaths from COVID-19 has increased 23%, with the U.S. averaging more than 130,000 new coronavirus infections each day. The nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, put it straight. The time frame of the pandemic can be truncated dramatically if people continue to get vaccinated.
This is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Today, the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center reported 20 new cases of COVID-19 for the Kodiak Island borough. 8 cases are close contacts of previously reported cases, and 12 cases are classified as community transmission. 113 cases are currently classified as active locally. That number has been gradually dropping over the last week. There are 5 active cases currently hospitalized in Kodiak. To date, 1,535 cases, 67 hospitalizations, and 5 deaths have been associated with COVID-19 for the Kodiak Island borough. Residents are encouraged to stay home if ill, even if you have mild symptoms. Keep your distance from others whenever possible and wear masks where appropriate. Contact your medical provider, Kodiak Community Health Center, or Kodiak Area Native Association if you wish to be tested for COVID-19. Vaccinations are available in Kodiak. Contact your health care provider or pharmacist if you would like to be vaccinated. Kodiak College began its fall semester yesterday. KMXT spoke to Jaslyn Keyes, director of Kodiak College, to discuss the new semester and the college's plans to deal with COVID. According to Keyes, services at the college are much easier to access than they were last semester.
So our president at the University of Alaska statewide level has mandated that our campuses be open for students. And how we are open is the buildings, the key buildings that we have courses in, are unlocked for student access so they can drop in for services, which is significantly different than what we did last year. So last year, we had students needed to make appointments for services. And as you can imagine, college can be intimidating enough without needing to make an appointment to see an advisor or to get help at the learning center, that type of thing.
COVID-19 is up and walking in Kodiak, as evidenced by recent Emergency Operations Center reports. Keyes says that while the statewide mandate has the University of Alaska campuses open, she is given the ability to respond to the local situation.
As the director, I'm following what statewide does as well as keeping an eye on what our local EOC does so that I can respond in a way that best takes care of our faculty, our staff, our students, and the families of the faculty, staff, and students, recognizing that kids under the age of 12 don't have an opportunity to get vaccinated.
Keyes says face masks are required on campus. The campus is not open to the general public at present, but facilities such as the computer lab and library are open to students. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has granted full approval to the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine to everyone age 16 and older. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports it's the first COVID-19 vaccine to receive this designation.
The FDA had previously issued an emergency use authorization for the Pfizer vaccine for everyone age 12 and up. The emergency use authorization will remain in place for children age 12 to 15. The emergency use authorization also allows third booster doses for immunocompromised individuals. You might start hearing the Pfizer COVID vaccine being referred to by another name. The company announced that it will begin marketing the vaccine as Comirnaty. Following the approval, the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services released a statement saying that getting vaccinated is the most important step Alaskans can take to stop the pandemic and save lives. It hopes that the FDA's full approval of the Pfizer vaccine will encourage more people to get the shots. Statewide, 54% of eligible Alaskans are fully vaccinated against COVID. In the YK Delta, the percentage is higher at 71%. The FDA approval comes as COVID-19 cases surge across the state and the region. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation classifies the entire YK Delta as undergoing high transmission of the virus. The region is seeing its highest daily case rate since January, and hospitalizations are increasing. YKHC Chief of Staff Dr. Ellen Hodges says that current patients are younger and sicker than during the previous surge and mostly have not been fully vaccinated.
The difference between this surge and the surge that we experienced last winter with our main bulk of our cases is many of the patients who are testing positive now are unvaccinated. They have not received the vaccination or they're not fully vaccinated.
Children too young for vaccination also make up a larger share of people testing positive. Hodges encourages everyone who's eligible to get the vaccine.
The vaccine is highly, highly effective in preventing infection, and it's very safe. And I encourage anyone who's listening to this to please go get vaccinated as soon as you can if you're not already vaccinated.
COVID-19 vaccines are available at the Bethel Hospital and Village Health Clinics. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Alaska State Troopers say they have taken an Anchor Point man into custody in connection with the shooting of an officer in downtown Anchor Point at around 1 p.m. yesterday. The injured trooper is receiving medical care at a local hospital. His current condition is unknown, according to the trooper's statement. According to court records, Brett Herrick of Anchor Point, 60 years old, has faced several recent charges, including for violating conditions of release and reckless endangerment. In December 2012, he was arrested for allegedly robbing and kidnapping a man in Homer. When troopers later tried to arrest Herrick in Anchor Point, Herrick allegedly resisted arrest. He pleaded no guilty to resisting arrest, but was released from Wildwood pretrial on a plea deal for his felony charges in May of 2013. COVID is resurging across Alaska and the United States, and communities are grappling with the virus, quarantine, and recovery. KHNS's Corinne Smith checked in with Elaine Hickey, a public health nurse based in Juneau, to discuss the health protocols for those recovering and getting out of a 10-day quarantine.
Can you speak to our listeners who may be sick and in quarantine right now? What are some best practices for taking care of yourself?
Usually, you know, when people are having symptoms, one of the best things they can do is just get rest, as much rest as they need. We ask people to stay really well hydrated. A lot of times dehydration can set in pretty easily. We hear a lot of decrease in appetite. You know, trying to eat, keep your strength up is really helpful. Any medications, things people take to treat the symptoms that they're having are okay to do as long as they're not contraindicated for other health reasons or other underlying medical conditions. But we just ask people to try to really isolate away from others in the home that maybe are not positive cases at this point. You want to stay separated and really try to protect the others around you.
For those people who are coming out of quarantine after 10 days, what are the best practices? What should people know coming out of quarantine?
Yes. So coming out of quarantine is determined off of improvement of symptoms. We know from data and research, you know, CDC guidance is that after 10 days of time, as long as symptoms have improved and that there's been no fever for 24 hours prior to that 10th day, that people can be released from isolation. They're no longer considered infectious at that point. The viral load will be low enough, if not gone from within the body, that they are not considered infectious to other people at that point in time. Symptoms may not be completely gone. Someone might have a lingering cough. Some of those body aches might linger. Fatigue is a big thing that we often see that can linger for a little bit of time, along with that sense of taste and smell. Sometimes that can be a little while before it comes back or just improves slowly. Just because those symptoms are still present and, you know, doesn't mean someone's infectious, they are okay to be released after they hit that 10 days. They are okay on the 11th day to be released from isolation and are no longer infectious.
So it's okay for people to go back to work, to rejoin their families and kind of resume activities after those 10 days?
Yes, that is. You would still recommend wearing your mask in public places and tight quarters, whether you're vaccinated or you're not, when you're in indoor locations. You can't maintain that 6 feet of distance, things like that, you know, continue to wear those masks. And if not vaccinated, like, really please consider to get vaccinated. It's the best protection we have.
After a case of COVID, people will not necessarily test negative. Can you say more about that?
That is true. The recommendation is that once they have that positive COVID test, that you do not receive another test for a 3-month time frame. Like I said, they know that there's, you know, the immunity for a 3-month time frame. someone can still have a positive test for weeks out after being tested for COVID and having a positive test. And it's because the virus is still like kind of floating around in the body that it can be picked up on that test, but it's just not in volumes high enough to be considered infectious, especially if you're asymptomatic, right? So if you're not having any symptoms and you get that test, it's just felt that it's like dead virus just still shedding out of the body and it's not infectious at that point.
Well, thank you so much, Elaine.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for reaching out.
Alaska State Troopers are investigating a fire that destroyed the Two Rivers Lodge on Chena Hot Springs Road yesterday as arson. The fire that leveled the log structure near Mile 16 early yesterday morning is the 10th since May that troopers are looking into as intentionally set. Alaska State Trooper spokesperson Austin McDaniel says they were alerted about the fire just after midnight Monday, and when they arrived on the scene, the structure was fully engulfed in flames. There were people in the lodge when the fire started, but all were able to escape without injury. The lodge fire follows 9 earlier arson attacks, as well as an attempted arson incident, all along Chena Hot Springs Road since mid-May. A COVID-19 outbreak in a warehouse in Centralia, Washington, which supplies grocery stores throughout southeast Alaska, has impacted deliveries region-wide. In Haines, all 3 grocery stores were out of milk yesterday, and though managers hope that a barge scheduled to arrive today will restock shelves, there's no guarantee until it actually arrives. KHNS's Corinne Smith spoke with Olrud's Market co-owner and Haines mayor, Doug Olrud, about the shipping delays.
So what can you tell us about the grocery supply delay?
A couple weeks ago, our warehouse that we get our groceries from in Centralia, Washington, had a COVID outbreak in the warehouse, and so they had to shut down for a week, and they're back up operating now, but it's been a little chaotic because they missed a week where they weren't receiving shipments or shipping out anything. They were supplying our groceries out of California, out of another warehouse from the same distributor. And with the little bit of the chaos, they've haven't been doing very well at shipping our orders to us. So we didn't receive the majority of our grocery order this week. And it looks like the barge that's going to dock on the 24th has a very light load as well. We're getting our fruit and vegetables, because that comes out of from a different company, but milk products and our regular grocery items, it's been a struggle for them. They say that the barge on the 31st, that all these issues should be resolved by then, but until we see what lands on the barge at the dock next week, we don't have a way to confirm that.
So some products will be coming in. You said produce. Are there certain products people should look out for, kind of know that those will be delayed?
I couldn't give you a list of what's delayed or not. We don't know until the truck shows up. They're telling us our orders are shipping complete, but they're not arriving at the dock. So there's a breakdown in the system. You know, there's still a lot of product on our shelves. It's not everything that people are always looking for, but we still have quite a bit of groceries in stock. And so it's not something I'm really worried about right now. As long as they can get that truckload coming up here on to next week's barge, then we should be good going from there. But we'll keep doing everything we can to make sure we got groceries coming to the town.
And are you looking at other sourcing opportunities?
Oh, absolutely. We've always brought stuff in from Costco, and so we're changing some of our stuff or expanding what we would normally get from our distributor. We're getting some of it from Costco. The price goes up a little bit on that, but it's better to have it here than not. And so that's how we were able to get milk here for this last week. It wasn't enough for the community, but I know we've got more coming in this next week for milk. So yes, we are looking at other options.
So for now, you're saying your shelves are stocked. You do have products. People should not be panic buying or worrying too much, and you hope to have more supply by the August 31st barge. Is there anything else our listeners should know at this time?
I think Haines is in a really good spot just with the number of people that put up their own food through subsistence, whether it's fish, their gardens.
other things like that. Between the three stores, ourselves, Hauser's, and Mountain Market, I think there's plenty of food in the community that there's not going to be, nobody's going to go hungry. So I don't think there's any need for any panic buying. And I think all three of us are doing everything we can to make sure that there's product here to so people in Haines aren't going to go without.
Well, thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks, Corinne.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Fake fish is on the menu. More after this.
Grundon's new Deck Boss boots give you better grip, better comfort, and happier feet. Made in the USA.
Plant-based seafoods are on the menu of Long John Silver's, the first major U.S. seafood chain to do so. The operator of over 700 restaurants has partnered with Good Catch to test its breaded fish-free filet and breaded crab-free cake at restaurants in California and Georgia. The so-called seafood includes a mix of peas, lentils, chickpeas, soy, and numerous beans and flavorings. And Whole Foods Markets, owned by Amazon, claims that nearly half of U.S. consumers are looking for plant-based products, and Fish Alternatives made its first list of trend predictions. One is Upton's Naturals Banana Blossom, made from the large flowers that grow at the end of a banana bunch. Another predicted favorite is Good Catch Fish-Free Tuna. Market tracker FactMR says that the global plant-based seafood sector is set to increase at an annual growth rate of 28%, valued at $1.3 billion in 10 years. But the imitation seafood products are confusing customers. According to a study by Food Minds, it showed that 40% believed they contain real seafood and nearly 60% thought the products had similar nutritional benefits as real fish. The seafood industry is pushing for a federal labeling fix. Gavin Gibbons is with the National Fisheries Institute, the nation's largest seafood trade group.
We have to ensure that the labels themselves are educating people about something as simple as what's in the package.
On another fake fish front, Frankenfish is now being sold by restaurant supplier Samuels and Son Seafood of Philadelphia, the first company to publicly admit it's selling the genetically modified salmon. New GM labeling laws go into effect in January, but they don't apply to restaurants or providers of meals away from home. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Kodiak Public Health invites families and students over the age of 12 to a COVID-19 vaccine clinic on Thursday, August 26th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Kodiak High School. The clinic will be in the auditorium and the Pfizer vaccine will be available. The high school is located at 722 Mill Bay Road. Stop by and let's bounce back from COVID-19. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Social Services.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 40. This announcement was issued at 10 a.m. August 24th. There will be a 72-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 6 p.m. Tuesday, August 24th until 6 p.m. Friday, August 27th in the following areas: the Northwest Kodiak District, the Southwest Afognak section of the Afognak District, the Outer Iakulik section of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Cape Alitak, Humpy Deadman, Alitak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alitak District, the Sitka-Leedic, Two-Headed, and Seven Rivers sections of the Eastside Kodiak District, and the Northeast Kodiak District. There will be a 54-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Wednesday, August 25th until 6 p.m. Friday, August 27th in the following areas: the Alinchak Bay, Cape Big Vac, and Wide Bay sections of the Mainline District. The current commercial salmon fishing period in the Duck Bay section of the Afognak District will close at 6 p.m. Tuesday, August 24th and reopen for 30 hours from noon Thursday, August 26th until 6 p.m. Friday, August 27th. The current commercial salmon fishing period in the Inner Ugak Bay and Outer Ugak Bay sections of the Eastside Kodiak District will close at 6 p.m. Tuesday, August 24th. As previously announced, closed waters are reduced until further notice at Humpy Cove to the stream terminus of Humpy Creek, stream number 257 757-701 and stream number 257-703. Cost recovery fisheries have begun in the Katoy Bay Special Harvest Area. Fishing opportunities in the Duck Bay, Iduit Bay, Inner Katoy Bay, and Outer Katoy Bay section will be dependent on the ability to meet KRAA cost recovery needs, and all cost recovery information can be obtained by calling 486-6559. Until further notice, in that portion of the Northwest Kodiak and Southwest Kodiak District, south of the latitude of Cape Kuliak, Chinook salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters are shown on the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in the Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. Statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. Recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559.
Good afternoon. Here is your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 24th day of August, the year 2021. The sun came up at 6:54 this morning, and it will set again at 9:28. That will give us 14 hours and 34 minutes of daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 48 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 72 degrees. That was set in 1938, 1957, and 1977. Our record low was 38. That happened in 1961. Currently a pleasant 57 degrees under overcast skies. Just a 50-50 chance of being rained on out there. Cloudy skies today with a high near 60. Northwest winds to 10. We'll turn to the west this evening. A 30% chance of rain tonight, mainly before 10 p.m., with mostly cloudy skies. For tomorrow, 30% chance of rain, mainly after 4. Mostly cloudy skies, a high near 58 tomorrow. And for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, high near 61, becoming... And westerly winds 10, becoming light and variable Thursday afternoon. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up at 4:22 p.m. here on the east side. That will be an 8.3-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 10:08 this evening of 0.9 feet. Our high tide for the middle of the night will be at 4:16 a.m. and be 8.8 feet. And our low tide for tomorrow morning here on the east side will be at 10:32 a.m., and be minus 0.3 feet. Over on the west side, and this is Larsen Bay, your next high tide will be at 4:46 this afternoon. That will be a 14.7-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 10:51 this evening of 1 foot. Your next high tide will be at 4:44 a.m. and be 14.1 foot. And your low tide for tomorrow morning on the west side will be at 11:07 a.m. and be minus 0.7 feet. Mariners, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. West wind to 15 knots right now and seas to 7 feet. For tomorrow, west 15, seas to 5 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, west wind to 15 knots right now, seas to 3 feet. For tomorrow, southwest 15, seas to 4 feet. For inside waters, Chiniak Bay, west 10 right now, seas to 2 feet. And for tomorrow, variable less than 10, seas to 2 feet. Up in Marmot Bay, west 10, seas to 2 feet right now. For tomorrow, variable less than 10, seas to 2 feet. Want to become a member of the KMXT and KODK team? Board elections are coming up, and we have some spaces open waiting for someone just like you. To find out more, give us a call at 486-3181. Senior citizens of Kodiak's Board of Directors will be holding their monthly meeting tomorrow at 1 p.m. in the center's multi-purpose room. The meeting is open to the public, but social distancing and masks will be required. For more information, call the center at 486-6181. The Alaska Aerospace Corporation will be conducting rocket launch operations at Narrow Cape during the month of August/September, so during this next month. Launch windows will be between 1300, 1 o'clock, and 1730, or 5:30, so 1 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. The following restrictions, coordinated with the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, will be enforced on on launch day, including roadblocks and an electronic sign in Bell's Flats with information regarding road closures. For more information, contact Paul Pena, Ground Safety Officer, at 942-4485 or Robert Green, Spaceport Manager, at 229-2007. The Kodiak Public Library's tie-dye craft scheduled for Saturday has been postponed due to an increase in COVID cases in the community. The library will inform the community when this event is rescheduled. As a reminder, there are 2 weeks left in the Summer Reading Challenge, so keep reading. The challenge ends Saturday, September 4th. If you've kept a handwritten log of your reading minutes and activities, please turn in the logs by September 4th. Kodiak Public Library's weekly hive check is postponed this week as well. The library is open between 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Masks are required for entry to the library until further notice. For more information, call them at 486-8686.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.